Well, I want to return to this text, John chapter 8, 31 through 44. In this text, we see there are two kinds of people. There are those who hate Jesus, they reject Jesus, and by the end of chapter 8, they're going to try to kill Jesus. But then there are also those who have heard Jesus' word and they believe that he is the Christ. But Jesus also says, as he speaks to both groups, he says that some are slaves to sin. And to others, he says that he has freed them, and they are free indeed. Well, I was thinking about slavery, and I couldn't help but think about our own country, what a blessing it is for each one of us to be born in this country. And I know you've thought about it. I think every American at one time or another, or probably several times in your life, you think, what a blessing it was for me to be born here. Isn't that true? Haven't you thought that? If you ever travel outside this country, you cannot leave this country and go abroad without recognizing what a blessed nation we live in. I know there are other good countries in the world. Our neighbor to the North, Canada, is a pretty free country. Then there are countries of Europe too that are doing pretty well. But you know what? All over the world, people desire to come here, even people from well-off countries. You know, like celebrities in other countries, they end up coming here. You know, I think of Mark Stein. He's one of the world's great writers. He's a commentator in newspapers all over the world. He was born in Canada. He lives in New Hampshire. Canada took him to court last year for hate speech. They ended up dropping it, but I remember reading about it, and the media was saying, hey, this is not right. What happens to freedom of speech in Canada? And the Canadian Parliament said, this is not America. We don't have the same view of the freedom of speech that you have. Well, maybe that explains why Canadian Mark Stein lives in New Hampshire. I think of other celebrities, you know, like Mel Gibson, the famous actor from Australia, lives in America. Nicole Kidman's also from Australia, lives in America. Anthony Hopkins, the great, you know, it's Sir Anthony Hopkins, Knight of England, lives in America. And of course, we have a problem along our southern border because there is so much opportunity in America. There is so much opportunity here. Yes, you're blessed. And I'm blessed to be born in America. But you know, you do know that most of the world's population would love to live here, but they can't. They can't. Instead, they live in various forms of slavery. There's political slavery. We find that in China, North Korea. There's religious slavery, you know, which we see in the Middle East. In Egypt right now, our Christian brothers and sister in Egypt are afraid for their very lives because the Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim radicals are killing Christians in Egypt. There's economic slavery. You know, the people like in Haiti, the opportunities for them, there are almost no opportunities for those people. Or the people in many parts of the world, they live in a type of economic slavery where there's just no opportunity for them. So these people would love to come to America, but they can't. They can't do it. There's good news, though. Even though most people on this planet cannot determine where they live, God gives each one the opportunity to determine where you will live eternity. Where will you spend eternity? He gives you that choice. The Word of God gives you freedom to make that choice. And as we see from today's text, the Word of God also keeps you free, having made that choice. I want to turn again. I'm not going to read the whole text, but John 8:31. I just want to read the opening few verses there. John 8, beginning at verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. In the fall of 29 AD, the third year of Jesus' ministry, he was in Jerusalem and he was teaching in the temple. And many Pharisees were testing Jesus, trying to find a way to trap him in his words because they had already determined to kill him. In fact, like I mentioned before, chapter 8 is over, they're going to pick up stones and try to kill him right there in the temple. But there were other Jews with them right there in the temple. There were other Jews who heard the words of Jesus Christ, and they knew that they were hearing the word of God, and they knew that the Messiah had come. Verse 30 says, "As Jesus spoke, many believed in him." And so now in the temple, surrounding Jesus, are both believing Jews who know that Jesus is the Messiah and these unbelieving Jews who've heard the same word but have rejected it. They've determined in their hearts they are not going to be under God's authority. But of the unbelievers, Jesus says in verse 24, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the Christ, you will die in your sins." And this is true not only for Jews, but it's true for everyone who hears the word of God and yet determines in their heart that they're going to remain in rebellion against God. Jesus is very clear. You will die in your sins. This means that they must pay for their own, with their own eternal lives, for their sins. In Revelations 21, verse 8, the Bible says that they shall be cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, and this is called the second death. But to believers, God says in Revelations 21, 6, "I will give you the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes," and that word is so important, "he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." So there are two options for eternity, but we are reminded that we all begin as unbelievers. The Bible says each one is born trespasses and sin by nature, children of wrath. That means that we are born sinners, and that means, because Jesus says whoever sins is a slave to sin, that means we are born in slavery to sin. And this slavery you cannot free yourself from. You cannot free yourself. But Jesus teaches in the Word, first of all, he teaches us that the truth is found in the Word of God. But secondly, he also teaches that it is this truth in the Word of God is sets you free from slavery. And then third, Jesus tells us this truth in the Word of God keeps you free. It keeps you free. Well, the truth is found in God's Word. And when we look back at just a few decades, we see kind of an interesting parallel, I believe. Now, some of you younger ones are going to have to think about your history books, but most of us remember a time when all of Eastern Europe was locked in Soviet communism, a form of slavery, a powerful form of slavery. We remember the term the Iron Curtain. Do you remember that? The Iron Curtain in Europe held almost everyone living in Eastern Europe under communist dictatorship. And these people were slaves. They had no personal freedom. And they knew they were slaves. They knew they were slaves. You remember the Berlin Wall? In downtown Berlin, it was constructed so that they wouldn't escape from slavery into freedom of the West. And then the Soviet Union expanded that, and all along the border of Eastern Europe was barbed wire and minefields and machine gun nests to shoot anybody that tried to escape communism. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, Satan has built a wall, but it's more powerful and it's stronger than anything built out of brick and mortar. And this wall holds people in sin. And the wall that the devil builds exists in the heart of everyone born into this world. And that wall is deception. It's not a wall of brick and stone. It's a wall of lies. Satan caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin by lying. Deception. You remember Genesis 3:5? Satan said to Eve, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Do you hear the lie? You will not surely die. Yes, Satan deceived Adam and Eve into doubting God's word. First sin, doubting God's word. And then defying God's word and eating from the forbidden fruit. And you know what? They did die. They died spiritually immediately, and they died physically later. And the deception that Satan planted in the human heart on that day is passed down from generation to generation to generation. Romans 5:12 says that through Adam, sin spread to all mankind. We are born sinners. And so the truth is, we're born slaves to sin. Jesus says in verse 34, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." That's right, a slave. You're unable to free yourself. Because the walls of slavery are built in your own heart. And the wall is so high that you don't even know that you're a slave. You don't even know that there's freedom on the other side of this deception. But the Word of God brings you the truth and sets you free. I remember back in the old days of the Cold War, there was this organization called Radio Free Europe. You see, the communists, as they started to see the West rebuild after World War II and flourish, they sought to seal off from Eastern Europe all news and everything about the West, because they didn't want the people to find out that under capitalism and freedom was all this opportunity and growth and wealth. Well, in 1949, the U.S. Congress passed legislation that started Radio Free Europe. And for the next 70 years or 60 years, whatever it was, we broadcast into Europe, into Eastern Europe, into communist Europe. We broadcast news and reports of everything that was going on in the West so the people would have the truth. And you know, in what was it, 1991? It wasn't tanks and guns and ships that defeated the Soviet Empire. It was the truth that brought down Soviet communism. And it was the truth that caused the people to rise up and claim freedom and overthrow the bonds of slavery. And it's the same thing with God's word. You know, people are born of this world, and that wall of deception is so high and it's so complete, they don't even know about the freedom that's on the other side. And so God's word reaches through that with the truth. God's word is broadcast for the world to hear. And the truth is this. This is the truth. God is the creator and the ruler of creation. God has established right and wrong. He has given us his Ten Commandments so that we may know these things. And this truth shows us that we are slaves to sin, so that we now know we are slaves to sin. And we cannot escape it. But the truth of God's word also says, verse 32 and 36 of our text this morning, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The word of God is true and brings freedom in this way. Romans 5, verse 6 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards you, in that while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. By Christ's obedience to die on the cross, you are made righteous. And so the word of God teaches us the truth about our own sinful nature. It teaches us the truth that sin must be dealt with. God cannot ignore it, but it also teaches us the truth that God has a plan for your salvation. Christ went to the cross for your sins and for mine, and they are paid for in full. All you need to do is receive this free gift, trusting Christ as your Savior. But some will not accept the gift. Satan continues to deceive with promises of temporary gratification, temporary pleasures, temporary wealth, temporary power. And the greatest deception of all may be the promise that you are free from punishment. The same thing he told Adam and Eve in the garden, you will not surely die. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed for men to die once, and then comes the judgment. The word of God sets you free from these deceptions of the devil, so that you see your freedom depends on what you do with God's word. Jesus said the unbelieving Jews would die in their sins, and he tells them why. In verse 37 and 43, he tells these unbelievers, he says, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Verse 43, he says, why do you not understand my words? It's because you're not able to listen to my words. But for those who received his word, they received also the free gift of salvation. God's Holy Spirit comes and lives in your heart. And Jesus says Christians, true Christians, those who are saved, those who have the Holy Spirit in you, those who have been given eternal life, you keep God's word in your heart. God himself works to show you day by day the deceptions of the devil. Do you think the devil's going to let you go because you realize the truth one day and you ask Jesus to be your Savior? Do you think the devil is going to let you go? Do you think he's going to write you off? It's just the opposite. He's already got unbelievers in sin. He wants you. And he's going to come after you every day with more deceptions and more temptations. It's clear in this text, because Jesus says so. It's clear that a Christian is not baptized once and then free to meander through life without a care. Some of the Jews surrounding Jesus have saving faith. The Bible says they heard his words and believed. Verse 30 and 31 says, as Jesus spoke these words, many believed in him. And then Jesus said to those who believed in him, just as he's saying to you now, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It really can't be any clearer. Once the word of God brings you to faith, you must abide in the word, which will make you free. Well, free from what? Free from all the clever and multiplied deceptions of Satan. The devil will try to deceive you that he does not exist. The Bible clearly warns you that he does. The devil will try to deceive you that you are really a good person, especially compared to other people, and you won't be judged. But the Bible clearly warns you that you will be judged, and you will be judged against the Ten Commandments, not against other people. Satan will try to deceive you that if everyone else is practicing sin, it must be okay. The Bible says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many people walk on it. Satan tries to convince you that God does not care for you. But the word reminds you that God sent his only son to die for you, and that God loves you always. He loved you before you loved him. Then Satan will try to convince you through his deceptions that because God loves everybody so much, everyone will be saved. But the Bible says all deserve damnation, and only those who receive Jesus are redeemed. And the list goes on and on. We must remember that before the fall, Satan was the mightiest and the greatest of all angels. And we must remember that after the fall, Satan has been deceiving mankind for 6,000 years. He knows what he's doing. You don't stand a chance against Satan on your own. But by the grace of God, Jesus has given you his word. He has planted his word in your heart and in your mind. And now Jesus says, if you are his disciple, you have to abide in his word. And this abiding, it means to live in. You live in your house. That house is your abode, right? Your house is where you get up in the morning. Your house is where you go home to at night and where you sleep and rest. All day you may roam about making your business, making your living, working in the world, but you come back home every night. And Jesus says, for the believer, if he or she wishes to be free from the tricks and the snares of Satan, all of which lead to pain and sorrow and suffering, the believer must live, must remain in God's word. Dear friends, you should get up in the morning in God's word. And at night, before you lay down to rest, you should be in God's word. That's what it means. This is where you live. It's where you remain. Spend time in the word of God every day, so that it is your home. Jesus says the slave may come into the house, that is the word. The slave may come into the word, but he won't stay there. He drifts away, or he's sold, or whatever. He doesn't belong in the house. They're just visiting. Just visiting. But the saved Christian is the son or the daughter of God, a child of God. And you live in the house forever. And Jesus says that he makes you free. And if the Son makes you free, dear friends, you are free indeed. By the grace of God, through the word of God, and your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.